I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. For the Tour de Suisse recap of Stage 3, we'll quickly go over Stage 1 and 2. I'll do that rapid fire now for you. The opening TT was won by Stefan Kuhn, getting it done on home soil. His last World Tour win was, in fact, this exact stage 2 years ago. But that day, today, well, not today, 2 days ago, he beat Evenepoel and Wout van Aert by not even a second, 5 or 6 seconds and 10 seconds respectively. Goes into the leader's jersey. Remco takes a nice big GC lead. Yesterday, big sprint from Binyam Girmay, Benji. And a lot of talk about Wout van Aert going too early, but Binyam hit the wind the same time as van Aert and held it all the way to the line with Demar on the wheel.
Strong performance by Binyam. I would say that Binyam was behind the rider while Wout van Aert was already in the wind. Because Wout was in the wind at 3:25, and I feel like Binyam was more 2:50 the way I saw it personally. But it was still a very strong sprint, a very early sprint. And it's interesting, there were no real leadouts. It was always one poisson pilote, as the French would say, one leadout, one person that pilots them to the front, and then they have to figure it all out themselves. But that was a weird sprint. It was just a weird sprint.
Yeah, no leadouts, and people kind of tired from the hills before. Anyway, today was the first mountainous GC stage, and it was a hard one too. 144 km from Taffer to Villars-sur-Ollon. 10.7 km, 7.8% pure mountaintop finish. The Giro doesn't want any part of a finish like this, and it's pretty consistent. There's a 5.6% first K, and then it's, you know, between 8 and 8.5, 9% for the rest. The last K is 6%. This is the climb that Bernal beat Roglic on when there was a mountain time trial in Romandy back in 2018, I think. So big numbies, big watts back then. They're not going to beat a mountain time trial unless Remco would go absolutely crazy on this stage. But still, could Stefan Kung in the leader's jersey, could he stay at least in, you know, top 10 contention before some of the more up and down mountaintop finishes or mountain stages later in the race? And there's a breakaway, Benji.
Yeah, there was a breakaway. I'll be honest about it. They weren't too prevalent in the final of today's stage. Zukowski, Calmejean Kamp, Cher, and Ursulin. I like Kamp's jersey, but I do feel like now that I'm in Swiss with my mind, Tour de Suisse, I'm completely in Swiss with my head. It looks like a Swiss national champion jersey from the back. So sometimes confusing. That being said, they got caught eventually before we got to the final climb because FDJ and Quickstep controlled it really closely. I think 3:20 was what FDJ started controlling it at, and then Quickstep took that down to 2:40, 2:30. Then they both worked together a bit to reel them in towards the end of the stage. So that's basically how that happened. But before we get to the final climb, before we get to Villars-sur-Ollon, the descent before that was quite wet, huh?
It was. I was like, this is a big test for Wilco Kelderman. There's Wout van Aert here too, who, you know, they don't want him crashing up before the Tour de France. So there is part of Jumbo-Visma's Tour de France team being Kelderman and van Aert. Kuss is recovering at home, and I think might have gone to team now. Other Tour de France contenders or riders who are here are Pidcock, who's been at altitude. Felix Gull, I believe, will go for Aja Desert alongside O'Connor. And I think Lutsenko, of course, for Astana. Agita was supposed to go, I think, or him or Schachmann for Bora. But Kjaan Oosterbroeck is their GC leader here. Bahrain's one of their Basque leaders, Bilbao, is here. Mm-hmm. The first stage of the tour is, in fact, in Bilbao alongside Landa, who disappointed in the Dauphiné. So there are a lot of, it's a mix because it's a very hard race and it's much closer to the Tour de France. So I would say the main GC contenders are not at this race. Bardet is here as well for DSM. And Ayuso.
Oh.
Yeah, not good. Ayuso as well for UAE. And so it's a bit of a mixed bag. Like, you've got these guys coming off the Giro like Vine. You've guys coming off a sort of 2-dot pro one-day schedule like Hirschi. And you've got guys who've just been on altitude tuning up for the Vuelta. like Ayuso and Gregoire. So it is a mixed bag here. And so it's difficult to know exactly what to expect. Now, Shkiel Moser, I actually saw quite a few times. He was in Andorra training. I presume he was up at altitude.
You saw him in the supermarket.
No, I saw him like 2 weeks later. He was here for ages.
I don't know what he was buying in the supermarket, but maybe some milk for the morning or something. Anyway, let's continue the stage recap instead of talking what Shkiel Moser bought in the supermarket in Andorra at some point in May. I was kind of surprised when I saw Wout van Aert going forward, but then I realized, okay, there's a sprint upcoming. He went for a point sprint yesterday, I feel like. Seems like he went for a point sprint again in this stage. And this is just before the final climb, right? This is with 10 kilometers to go. The final climb starts at 9.7K to go. That's the Villars-sur-Allon climb. And were you surprised that van Aert kept on pacing after he went past the sprint?
I mean, the trouble with Wilco, but just before that, he tried to move Wilco up into good position. Wilco couldn't follow him. That's a problem for a lot of GC riders. Lost the wheel. And yeah, I don't really know what van Aert was doing. Maybe just testing himself. Because, yeah, he kept pacing. And it looked like an attack, like Benji's lens just off camera there.
Every time.
Because Wilco wasn't on his wheel. I didn't really know what he was doing. Then he stopped. And then it turned into Quickstep just controlling anyway. So Quickstep, they have two domestiques for Remco for the climbs here. That's James Knox and Cattaneo. And Remco is, their GC leader, who is the best placed GC rider by far. Well, not by far, by 15 or so seconds ahead of Shkiel Moser after the time trial, who did a very, very good TT himself. So I thought this was going to be pretty obvious what would happen, Benji. Because Knox and Cattaneo are not going to take Remco to 1K to go or 2Ks to go. Yep. It's not a deep train. We know Remco's riding style. They're going to wind up the pace. He's going to attack with 15 minutes to go on the climb, 16 minutes to go on the climb, and try and hold a hard pace. He's done it in Catalonia. He's done it in Norway. This is how he rides every single time. And that's exactly what happened, really. I mean, no one serious dropped off the pacing of Knox. Was more serious pacing than Cattaneo.
Higuita, I guess.
True, Higuita, that's not a good sign. He's looked a bit average this season. Anyone else? Lutsenko,
yeah, but outside of that, I didn't really notice too much. I was just happy that Gregoire was still there at that point, and that he continued to be there for a while longer as well, Romain Gregoire. We've spoken about the French challenge on Groupama quite a bit. Lenny Martinez, that ended up winning Mont Ventoux today as well, Mont Ventoux challenge, and then we see Gregoire doing well here. Gotta love it, the youngsters. A lot of youngsters doing well. Uyttebroeks there as well. And we see that train, that Quickstep train of Cattaneo, Knox, then Remco in the wheel. But I was thinking, we're now at 6.5 kilometers to go. We see that Knox is starting to talk to Remco quite a bit. He's like, hey, man, how are you, man? I'm almost done, man. Okay, it's almost your turn, man. And like after five or six times of looking next to him, I was like, it's about to happen, eh? He's going to attack, right?
Yeah. And Ben Tollett was backing himself. He just won Tour of Norway GC, and he was the first placed Ineos rider, and he tries to follow the inevitable Remco attack, which is an acceleration sort of while he's looking around, ups the pace, and Tollett blows himself up, unfortunately. Pidcock's a bit deeper. Sheffield, I think, had dropped before, and he just rode to his power meter or rode to his own tempo the whole climb and ended up being the best placed of all the Ineos riders, actually. And so Tollett, I think, cost himself a little bit there, whereas Kelderman, I was hopeful after the big altitude camp. I was like, he'd be able to respond. Couldn't respond. Kelderman, Ayuso, Bilbao, Uyttebroeks, Uran, they're left behind. And it's Shkiel Moser who just easily breezed across to Remco's wheel, Benji, and then Felix Gull next.
Yeah, and when that three-man squad was ahead, I was like, Kelderman's still looking okay. Kelderman is still pacing that group behind. I believe that Kelderman can come back if he keeps up that tempo, but something changed between like two shots where suddenly it was like 10 meters and then out of nowhere it was like 40 meters difference between those three and the rest. And yes, Remco was pacing alone in that front three riders. Nobody was taking over. Maybe the collaboration in that second group was not great in that small moment there that caused that gap to extend quite a bit. Maybe Remco just pushed a bit too hard in that moment. But Gull and Shkiel Moser were not taking over. And it's logical, eh? Because they're riding in the wheel of Remco, who on paper is a better climber on paper than them. So they're thinking, let me just try and hold on. I'm Skelmos. I've got a bit of a sprint. Yeah, Remco has a sprint, but I can 1v1 this guy at the finish line. So let's try and stick on this guy's wheel. And then the gap started to gradually reduce. Was that partially because Remco reduced the tempo, or was it also because Mr. Ayuso started stomping behind?
I think it was a combination of a few things. It was, first of all, Remco might have been conscious that, okay, I haven't just dropped these guys straight off my wheel. And Skelmos is only 15 seconds behind him on GC. And if he pulls Skelmos into 1K to go the whole time, he'll have done more watts for the whole climb, but Skelmos can take time on him and with bonuses can maybe get really close on GC. So that's what happened on Sierra Nevada. Remco was stronger than Roglic, but he pulled him for like half an hour and eventually Roglic took 15 seconds on him. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was he's just not as strong as he thought he was and couldn't hold the tempo he initially attacked at. And I think it also was, yeah, Bilbao initially started chasing. Jan was working really well. Mm-hmm. Ayuso started pulling really hard. And they were all working really, really well. And I think Remco also saw, I just think he felt bad, actually. I think he just wasn't as good as he thought he was. Because it wasn't that, I initially thought he's going to hold that group at 10 seconds, ride defensively with just two guys he can manage who aren't attacking him, and then gradually accelerate at the end. But that wasn't the case, because Remco eventually decides to let the group behind him come back after he's been pacing for I don't know how long, and Gold just attacks him, and Remco doesn't even think of responding.
Yeah, maybe that's because he indeed is not feeling like he can respond in that moment, because that continued, that behavior. Skelmos stayed on his wheel and was probably like, okay, I kind of regret not responding together with Gal here. I'm sitting on this wheel of Remco and this Ayuso guy is chasing me down with a bunch of other GC riders in the wheel. So maybe I should try the same. Skelmose, bim bang bomb. He's also attacking on the other side of the road. And Remco's like, nah, I can't do this. And gradually Remco gets caught by the group behind with Ayuso still continuing that pace. And when Remco gets caught, it's obvious to me that he can't follow those other two riders. There's no reason in your mind that Remco would say, I'm just going to sit up and wait in G2, or G3 at that point. Nah, I'm going to do that. In the meanwhile, Skelmose catches up with Gull, and Remco seemingly got into trouble in the group behind a tiny bit when Ayuso started making a move there.
Yeah, and I thought Ayuso would actually catch the two up front, because this is how he rode on Pico Jano in the Vuelta Stage 6 last year. He's entered in bad position and really worked his way into the climb and finished really, really strong. I think did the third best watts on that climb, maybe even the second best. I can't remember if he was above or below Musk, because Musk was in Remco's wheel for a lot of it. No, sorry, Vine had better. Anyway, he was good on Pico Jano, and he's good on these sort of climbs. On Tion 2000, he wasn't in great shape, and I think these sort of 25 to 30-minute efforts suit him a little bit more as a 30-minute effort. But yeah, Remco, well, it wasn't good. And now it's also the gap is so big to Skelmoser after the, and because the TT gap was so close, he's losing the GC lead with the way Skelmoser dropped him. There's a bit of playing out front with Skelmoser and Gull, but eventually Skelmoser just attacks Gull. He is punchier than him. He's been very good in just, he's won a lot of stages already in those small, the French sort of circuit with some, they're really good races actually, with good competition, but this is the biggest win of his career, Matthijs Skelmoser. Who was second in Flesh Wallon, but he's not won a mountaintop finish before. He's not won a World Tour race before. And he wins Tour de Suisse first mountaintop finish, goes into the GC lead by 17 seconds ahead of Remco Evenepoel. And Felix Gold, who came second on 3 seconds, he actually is still on in ninth, moves up 85 spots because he lost so much time in the time trial. He's still on 107, which is kind of incredible. Ayuso finished third. He did gap that group. Remco got dropped initially on the last little ramp before the Flamme Rouge and came back on the flatter section. They were 21 seconds back in a group of Oudebroeks, Bilbao, Kelderman, and Rigo. So Rigo looking okay for the Tour de France that he'll be doing for EF. Sheffield dropped Pidcock and Tullet, which is kind of surprising. He finished ninth. Bardet 10th on 45 seconds. Izaguirre, then Tejada turns Pidcock on 47 seconds. What do you think about, what do we learn from this?
I don't think we've learned too much for the large scope of things, just that Felix Gall is actually a pretty good rider. We've seen him quite a few times doing this type of stuff. in this year. And I feel like Scale Moz has really stepped up from last year as well when it comes to GCs in this year. Now, I do want to add, when it comes to Remco Evenepoel, if you do this tactic of attacking and you keep pacing with those two guys behind, who on paper should be worse climbers than him, so from the thought that he thinks he's stronger, that somewhat makes sense, but it's also not the hardest finish. And if I look at the coming days, the mountain stages are pretty scarce in this race, where I'm thinking, don't you just ride negatively for the rest of the race and just take enough time in the time trial on Scale Moz?
Yeah, it was actually pretty weird, because Remco either A, thought he was much better than he was today, he was going to be better, or B, they literally have no idea how to ride in any other way. Because Trek didn't have a domestique to light it up for Scale Moz. AG2R didn't really have anyone to light it up too much. Remco wanted to go on the attack, which, yeah, you don't know exactly how you'll be until you really try it. But, I mean, he's been riding this way. He rode the exact same way in Catalonia, and he lost GC because of it. He's come here, and it's like, Remco's riding like a junior still. He's riding like he was in the juniors. He has not decided any other way or thought about any other way he can win races or approach these mountaintop finishes other than smash the last 20. And the draft, these other guys are too good. I know he's not at his best, but these other guys are too good that on 7-6%, if you're giving them 0.2 watts per kilo back because they're sitting in your draft the whole time, that they will flick you in the final.
Happens so often with Remco that he comes into the situation, just keeps on riding. And at that point, you see yourself looking at a situation where Pogacar is in that mode. And Pogacar usually doesn't just keep on riding unless he's absolutely certain that he's going to drop them. And that we saw, for example, on the Col du Rhum stage, for example, in Tour, but he just dropped everybody instantly there. But we've seen moments where Pogacar just kept riding with someone on the wheel because he knew he would drop them over time. Now, on a stage like this, which becomes easier towards the end of the climb, this finish, it's so you also got to think about, can I actually drop these guys? And at that point, you need to sit up a bit and then maybe try again a bit later. Try and see if Ayuso will try and attack and follow his move, for example. But in the end, he just wasn't strong enough either, I think, today. That being said, what is it with these very telephoned attacks from Quickstep always? I feel like they always attack from front position.
Yeah, it's pretty Axiomas and knew it was coming. I guess because, yeah, they just think if he's the best, he'll just ride away. But they did big numbies, I think, today on the climb. They were pretty fresh, cool conditions. Big numbers for 27-30 minutes, but if Remco's not in top shape, he gets dropped, and you know his watts are probably quite close to those guys because he paced them for so long. So yeah, he's got to, if you don't initially drop them, you got to stop. Let Knox or whoever come back, or just play around with the group. So yeah,
disappointed in Gelderman?
Not really, to be honest. Like, Bilbao's the GC leader for Bahrain. I mean, a little bit. I mean, but he hasn't won a road race for 9 years for a reason. Like, so it's a fine performance. I'd be more concerned if I was DSM with Bardet, frankly, if he's supposed to be your Tour de France leader, whereas Wilco's is after Kuss in the train before Kuss, rather, for Jumbo. So that'd be a little bit more concerning. Gregoire, I thought, was excellent for a puncher.
Yeah,
a really, really excellent performance. And I've already said he should be going to the Tour de France. We'll talk about the demand news after this.
Okay, then I'll have to wait a bit because I was going to say something that's very closely related to that, but continue about the race for now.
Well, anyway, now Remco's got to go on the attack if he wants to win this race. Oh, is that even true? Oh, no, I'm lying.
Negative racing. Wait for the TT.
So the last TT is 26 Ks. It's hilly. And he's, 17 seconds back?
Yeah.
He'll beat Scale Moz by more than that.
If he even loses more time towards someone, if he even loses like 30 seconds, if he has 30 seconds deficit by the time that time trial starts, he should still win GC.
Don't you think they can smell blood in the water though now? Like he showed his hand?
It's also not the craziest parkour for Tour de Suisse that I've ever seen in my life. So if Remco can't defend it on this parkour, then he doesn't deserve to win in the first place.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, tomorrow's stage, 153Ks from Monte to Leukerbad. First 80 kilometers of flat, then they do the other side of Crans-Montana. Yes, that is the Giro Crans-Montana climb, which is the first 8 kilometers at 8%, and then the last 6 kilometers of that are maybe 5% before the actual steeper descent into the valley, little pickup climb, and then a kind of an interesting finish, actually. They do a 7.8K, 8.6% uncategorized climb called, and I think it's being put together with the Hohenweg, which is the Cat 1, but there's a descent, a proper descent for like 5 minutes in there, and then they do a 2.7K, 7.6% pickup for another another 2Ks at 5%, and then 8.5% K to the top of that climb before another short descent, and then a 1.2K, 5% pickup. So if I'm FDJ, I mean, who? I go for Gregoire. I really go for Gregoire to win this because, he's 1 minute back today, but someone would have to launch that first 8K, 8.6% climb, stay away to the finish, and who's going to pace that hard to do that? If you're Schelmoser, you won't do it. He's got a punchy finish too. Remco would be maybe scared to do it. I think this is going to be one of the punchier GC guys. I think Gregoire wins this.
I hope he does. I think Ayuso wins this.
Ah, true. He's Ayuso, Schelmoser, the better climbers. So if it's a harder race, it should be those two fighting out the sprint win. Remco can still sprint. Let's not forget that.
100%.
Do you see big gaps? I don't see which team, maybe Gold. So if I'm Age Desert, I use Clermont Berthe and I absolutely torch that 8K, 8.6% climb for Gold because he's a minute back. Mm-hmm. He's at worst the third best pure climber in this race, most likely the best or equal with Schelmoser. And he's got to take back more time if he wants to get on the podium because he's going to lose another 2 minutes in the final TT. They got to go full gas tomorrow. So yeah, I think Age Desert got to go all in for the top three of Gol and GC.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think that's a fair point there. And also, the more you pace for Gol, the more likely you are going to be on the podium at the end of this race. Because he's not the best time trialist in the world, so you got to try and make a difference and throw the people that might be slightly better in time trialing on the climb itself by using your team to do so. And if you even drop one rider that's in the top 10, that's one rider you don't need to compete with that might compete with your podium or top 5. So it's just as a defensive measure for Gull to use his best terrain to his strength. But because he won't drop everybody on this climb, but the more people he drops, the better. As simple as that.
Like Sheffield.
All I can say about the stage.
Sheffield's climbing fine. He was 40... Sheffield was like 40 seconds behind Gold today. He's still ahead of him on GC and he's going to take more time on him on GC. So you got to make hay while the sun is shining before that TT.
If you think Gregoire will make it to this finish line, would Sheffield also not do that?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, why not? Maybe the punchy stuff is not as good for him as the long, like in Norway, he did quite a good climb. The Gaustad stop-in was also a 30-minute consistent effort, the Norway climb. So these climbs seem to suit him after not too much fatigue in the legs beforehand.
You don't believe in Pidcock here? Who was closer than Gregoire?
Sure.
That's the most unconfident sure I've ever heard in my goddamn life.
who are Ineos going to go for?
I'd go Pidcock for the stage.
Tell it.
If they're going for a Gregoire in Groupama, which is a viable option, then Pidcock's going to be there as well and can compete for the stage win.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see what they do. I don't know what they'll do.
I'm changing my mind. Ayuso's not winning. It's going to be Pidcock.
Okay. It'd be good to see.
Never mind. It's going to be Ayuso. I'll switch back.
I don't know. Anyway. That wasn't the biggest news today at Tour de Suisse, which is quite a difficult race to watch for many people around the world because of coverage. The biggest news today is the Arnaud Démare omission from Groupama FDJ. Now, I sensed something in the waters this coming last night because I just sensed it in the water, and I
which
put out
water?
Just the French Groupama FDJ Tour Selection water. Just too much Pinot chatter, and I know how they work. And so I put out the team, the best team they should take. And that's been wholeheartedly rejected. I thought they should take Pinot, they should take DeMar with Scottson, they should take Kung, they should take Gregoire for stage one to go for yellow. He's really good. And take Gadou with Matawaz and Geniets. And, you know, that'll be absolutely fine. Anyway, it comes out today, DeMar's out. Thibaut Pinot in, DeMar out. And DeMar has taken this really heavily because he said, first of all, they told him at Boucle de la Mayenne, they're not even offering him a contract extension. And then apparently he was supposed to be, they told him since December he was doing the Tour de France, he prepared for that, and he's going fine. He helped Gadou in Paris-Nice. He was a very professional about that whole debacle. And he won Brussels Cycling Classic. He was second yesterday. It's not like he's completely washed. And I'm really shocked, Benji. Do you think this is a mistake?
I think this is a mistake. Surely I think this is a mistake. Because like David Gaudu, yes, his Paris-Nice was grave. Yes, he got second, partially thanks to DeMar. So credits where credit is due there with that intermediate sprint. Now, next to that, we've got the Dauphiné, which is a complete opposite extreme. Because Gaudu was nowhere in the Dauphiné. So you've got these two markers where you have to judge what Gaudu's form will be like. And I'm looking at the most recent one. Now Gaudu's saying, well, we'll all be fine. Like, it's hard to believe that from the outside. Well, but let's say it's fine. Even if Gaudu can compete for a top five in the Tour de France, which in good form he can do, then I still wouldn't completely throw an entire team behind him. You don't need an entire team to top five the Tour de France. You need support in the mountains. How many riders do you need as support in the mountains? Four is fine.
I'd say
four max is fine.
Four.
But as you say, those four riders can be freed on occasions to go for their own stuff. For example, Stefan Kung can go for stages. He can also go for the time trial. That might be more difficult than a different time trial for Stefan Kung, though. But the other rider, Valentin Madouas, perfect domestique, and he can go for some stages in the breakaways. Michael Storer could be in there in the same way, maybe to replace your Gregoire. I'm not 100% certain about Gregoire. I agree that he could fight for yellow, but
Gregoire's
also kind of
better than Storer right now.
Yeah, but I just want them to be all out on Gregoire plus Lenny Martinez at the Vuelta, full leadership for both, and an entire team to support those two. That would be amazing.
Yeah. And Geniets was like a couple of all-rounders like Geniets and Matawaz they can
and
do, yeah. Yeah.
You don't need an entire lead-out for DeMar. Yes, he does best with a lead-out for his team, but there's, I checked earlier today, there's between 6 and 8 pure sprint stages.
Pure sprint stages, like classic ones.
Exactly. So that's way more than usual in the Tour de France. Go to this Tour de France without sprinters and you're skipping out on 30% of the race, 40% of the race maybe. So I'm like,
and hundreds
that's just
of points.
Fucking stupid.
Hundreds of points. Like, you're basically going to your most important race of the year as a French team. You have the best French... Oh, no, Laporte's maybe better. You have the best French sprinter of the last 5 years.
Benoit is coming.
Yeah, maybe later, but not now. And you are already at the start line saying, we will not even be in the top 10 relevant at all to be talked about for 40% of the stages. Like, to me, that is, dude, even Jumbo Visma don't put all their eggs in the basket of GC. They're like, well, anything can happen. He can get sick. He can crash out. You know what eases that pain a little bit is if you've won a stage or you've gone for green. And I really don't think DeMar is that far out of the green jersey conversation. Van Aert's not going for it. Philipsen is, you know,
winning it.
Yeah, of course, the heavy favorite, but he could get disqualified. Yeah. He could crash out. He could get relegated. Anything could happen, as we saw with Sagan and Matthews back in the day. So DeMar's not a completely unrealistic guy to go for it. Is he going to head-to-head in a race beat Groenewegen, Jakobsen, and Co. if they all get a perfect lead out against him? No. But anything can happen in a sprint, and I do actually think his form is quite fine. And also, he was like, there's no better option. And this is the thing, like, it's so old school and traditional thinking that more mountain domestiques who are not good at climbing, Quentin Pacher or Rudy Mollard, who are not good at climbing, help a GC rider that much. They don't. When Godu is on Puy de Dôme, he is on his own. They cannot fucking push him up the climb. When he is on Col du Jouplin, they cannot help him. When he's on Col de la Loze, they can barely help him on the steep section because they will be dropped. Pardon?
Only when you put them in the break as satellite rider. But Groupama doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So that triggers me.
You need a pure, like, you need someone like Vine, someone like Koos, Bora has someone like Kamna, and you only need one. You don't need four of them. One is fine. The problem is, Pino is not going to help Gadu. Pino is selfish, and he's not going to help Gadu that much, I don't think. Maybe under sufferance. So Pino, you put him in, he's going to go for his own objectives as his farewell tour.
Yeah.
So now you put Pino in, and now you've taken that spot, and you think, okay, well, now who's going to help Gadu? And then, anyway, look, I don't want to, it's unfair. It is unfair to compare Groupama FDJ to Jumbo Visma and Ineos in UAE because the budgets are extremely different. But if we compare them to EF Education Easy Post, who don't have a big budget, who's won more Tour de France stages consistently the last few years or the last 5 years? I haven't looked up the stat, but I think it's EF, right?
I actually don't know. But your point aside, we'll pretend it's right. Your point aside for a second, even if DeMar goes into this team, even if he has one extra leadout man, which is Scottson, next to a Kung, they both can try and help position him before a sprint starts. Then he can try and figure it out himself once the sprint is beginning. You don't necessarily need a last leadout man every sprint to be competitive in a sprint. He's proven it before that he's won next in that Giro where he won three stages, two of which were with help of Sinkeldam, one of which was without a proper last man leadout. So he's had occasions where he can sprint on his own. Now, when it comes to Tour de France, that's more difficult. But it's still possible. It's 6 to 8 chances to do so. So it's worth it. And even with those two riders to the team, I still have trouble finding the eighth rider for the team. It's like, there's not 8 super obvious riders for the Tour de France in this team. Come on.
And that's the thing. Like, they haven't looked at all the stages. And stage one, for example, is perfect for Gregoire. Like, yep. I really, really believe in Gregoire. If you saw what he did at Dunkirk on not that hard a climb against Hagenes, who is very highly rated, he has a huge explosion for a 20-year-old that's weighing next to nothing, and he climbs decently too. So
yeah, but
he's the next Jala man. And to not, I know he's young, but I'm a very high-risk person for high reward. So, like, I see stage one, I look at their roster, and I think Gregoire is the best rider to win that stage to take yellow. Chance is what, 5%? But if you do that, it's like one of the biggest things in the team's history, you know? So to me, because the downside is, as you said, Rudy Mollard. So, like, it's not like you're taking out Sepp Kuss or Wout van Aert.
Gregoire can do the same that Mollard is doing.
Exactly. He just showed in Swiss. He's climbing fine. No, he's climbing fine. He did over 6 watts per kilo for 30 minutes just now. That's better than those guys.
I agree.
Well, why do you think...
Why did I interrupt you during your Gregoire speech?
No, but why do you think this happened? Oh. Are we missing the point? Is this personalities?
Oh, probably. Probably just egos. The way Godu is speaking on the social media about his teammates sounds like he's got an ego. The way Pino's behaving sounds like he has an ego. The way DeMar's behaving sounds like he actually has the least ego of them all. Which is, he gets penalized because he's a nice guy, is the way it looks.
And this guy's won a lot of races for that team, 96, in fact, including big, big races like San Remo and co. And certainly, yeah, he'll be leaving that team on a very sour note. And I don't think it was necessary. And in fact, I think he's in the right. But maybe we'll be, because, like, I don't see Godu coming fourth, Benji, as realistic as last year. He just was terrible in the Dauphiné. Like, just terrible. And he won a Dauphiné stage last year, by the way, before he came fourth.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have come fourth were it not for Wout van Aert going back to get Roglic on the Granollers stage. He was 13 minutes behind in fourth. And I think that the Tour de France GC field is a little bit deeper this year. Like,
yeah,
O'Connor and Hindley are just better than him, you know, and they're in finding that 3-4 spots. Of course, people can get COVID or whatever. Yates is better than Gaudu right now compared to last year as well.
Yes, but it depends on which Yates you're talking about and also what role the Adam Yates will be landing into once we get to week 3 of the Tour de France.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, shame for Demar. Let us know what you think. Should Groupama have taken him? But yeah, it's a big controversy at the moment. We've got Tour de Suisse stage tomorrow. Next mountain stage, we will have the recap of that. And until then, ciao.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.